God's forgiveness and love's response. The lesson starts with the idea that all have sinned. The wages of sin is death. All are doomed to death. Therefore, all need forgiveness. In this contingency, God made a plan of salvation. This plan of salvation met every need for everyone who has ever been born upon this earth. God's forgiveness is therefore possible to all. The provisions were made on Calvary, and every man in every age must move within the orbit of that forgiving grace. God's love provided forgiveness. Man's love must respond in acceptance and all that is implicit in this exception, in this acceptance. Lesson 1, July 1-7, 1984, God and forgiveness. Let's begin this lesson by thinking of the meaning of forgiveness. Forgiveness includes pardon for sin. It requires that the sin having been forgiven, there must be a restored relationship. The disease of sin must be healed. Whenever man realizes this, he is forced to a decision. He must either accept or he must reject. Part number one, God's readiness, eagerness to forgive every sin. God has done everything to make acceptance possible. He has paid every penalty. He has taken the place of man. He has sought to reconcile fallen man to himself through Jesus Christ. He is prepared not to reckon man's sin against them. God awaits our acceptance. In order to bring this about, he makes the first move. Now this gives a problem to the sin question. God cannot force forgiveness and life and righteousness upon any man. He never compels the sinner to believe. He never interferes with human free will. It is as if in this battle for life, on one side Christ stands and on the other Satan. In between is man, capable of choosing every moment of his life one way or the other. If man responds to God's gentle appeal and turns towards heaven and heaven's program, then the boundless resources of omnipotence flow to his help. Until man does this, he remains with his choice on the side of Satan. This has been described as the great controversy theme. God, Satan, sinner, mankind, all the consequences because of sin. This process can be reversed by divine grace. The sinner chooses God's way, and as soon as he does, he is given power to break the ties that he has made with sin, with evil, with Satan. God's eagerness to forgive is frustrated only by man's refusal to accept that forgiveness. Part number two. How does a sinner experience forgiveness? In other words, what must the sinner do? It all begins with the divine call. No one comes to the Father except by Christ. No one comes to Christ except the Father which sent him, draw him. So by the means that heaven has at its disposal, the Holy Spirit, angels, circumstances, all kinds of the powers of divine grace work on man to bring him to a view of Calvary, all that Jesus has done for him personally. In that glimpse, heaven gives him a picture of his own sinfulness, of his own unworthiness, and of the matchless splendor of Christ. He gets another view. He can now see what it means to be a subject of the kingdom of God. When he realizes his sinfulness and God's graciousness and the options that are open, he cries out, as the men did on the day of Pentecost, "Men, brethren, what shall we do?" Well, acknowledge your sin. Confess it. Repent. That is, resolve that you're not going to do it again. To accept divine grace will help in this resolution. Make restitution, as far as it's possible, by the help of the divine power. Accept the way that God has marked out fully and begin to walk. And demonstrate your walk by being baptized. This is the procedure. Seeing a vision of Christ, realizing our own sinfulness, weighing the options, repenting, confessing, restoring, accepting, being baptized, and walking in the way. God's readiness to forgive flows into such a life and removes the guilt and starts man on a new way. Part number three, accepting forgiveness. Now this is where the crunch comes. God has made the provisions. Man must accept. He must acknowledge that he is a sin, that he is a sinner, that he has done what is wrong, that his own case is hopeless. His own power is impotent. Realizing this, he comes to God, throws himself without any reservation at the foot of Calvary, and says, "Lord, I am a mess. I can do nothing to save myself. I've tried and failed 1,000 times. Please take over in my life." And when God takes over, forgives his sin, and the sinner accepts it, he is justified. He stands in the presence of God as if he were without sin in the sight of heaven. Part number four. Forgiveness is greater than any sin or than all sins. Christ on Calvary took the place of the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Jesus Christ took the sins of the whole world in his body to the cross. Jesus died for every man who has ever lived and who ever will live. There is no one for which he did not pay the penalty. So his atoning sacrifice covers every man, takes care of his guilt, takes care of his sinfulness, takes care of the consequences, and invites man to come into this plan of salvation, this orbit of saving grace, and accept. There is no sin so great that Calvary doesn't cover it. A man must realize this. Man must not think that he is a greater sinner than God can accept, that he is too bad that God can never accept him. His sins are too great and his debt too heavy that Calvary cannot pay it. He must sense, as he reads all the scriptures through carefully that God has paid the penalty and is waiting for man to accept the forgiveness that this makes possible. Part number 5, Illustrations of God's Forgiveness. Peter came one time and said, "Lord, if my brother sins against me, how many times should I forgive him? 7 times? Evidently, the rabbis thought that 3 was enough. And Peter thought he'd make the perfect number 7. And Jesus made a remarkable statement. He says, "Until 70 times 7. And this has always had a linguistic link in my mind with Daniel 9. There again, we meet 70 times 7. And this 70 times 7 has to do with the judgment of Israel. 70 weeks or 70 times 7 are set aside for thy people to carry out the new covenant relationships, for Jesus Christ to come as the Messiah, to be cut off, to accomplish so many wonderful things for the salvation of man. And it is as if Christ is saying, look back at the other 70 times 7 and realize I have made each day for a year, and then get the measure of the forgiveness of sins. In other words, if we forgave 70 times 7, we would run out of counting and we would get into the habit of forgiving constantly. In other words, Jesus Christ is saying that whenever somebody comes and asks forgiveness, if it is repeated many, many times, it is the privilege of the Christian to forgive whenever forgiveness is requested. Part number 6, the focus of the week. This week we have been studying God and forgiveness, the provision that He has made that is much more than adequate to meet every man's need. As we think about it, on what concepts should we focus? As you look at the key text that is given here, love thy neighbor, hate thine enemy, is what man says. To the one who is totally forgiven and realizes the extent of his debt and the gift of his Savior, Jesus says, love your enemies. That is, build relationships. Loving is the principle that makes ideal relationships. Bless them. The blessing of God, as we get from a study of Genesis 1, God blessed the fish, God blessed man, God blessed the Sabbath. Blessing was the divine empowering to fulfill the function for which He had created those. When I bless those who curse me, I act in such a way and I speak in such a way that they will be built up to fulfill God's ideal for their lives. Do good to them that hate me, hate you. Jesus says the doing of good is the making of provisions for well-being. Those who hate you have needs. Act in such a way that their needs will be met. In other words, when you have been forgiven, when you have realized what God has done for you, a sinner, your attitude should fit in with Christ's attitude to you. And you should show the Christ-like relationship to those who are your enemies, to those who curse you, and to those who hate you. Because as a sinner, you were the enemy of God, you cursed God, you hated God. Seeing what Christ has done for you, seek to carry out the same thing for your neighbors, friends, and members of your family. The focus of the week, therefore, is to live in such a way that we exhibit appreciation for the forgiveness that has been given to us and exhibit the same attitude towards our fellow human beings.